Blog Talk Radio.
I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, no.
a good feeling, yeah.
We have a good feeling today, so we're going to go with it. Welcome to Rapture Centric Radio and Church. And this is Jerry. And
Hi, Jerry.
I said in the chat room, hi. Let's see, I think we've got Joe's on the line, but he's probably still not speaking yet. So we've got... we've got... I think we've got Tana... And let's see.
Yes. Hello.
Hi,
honey. Hi. Hi. Hi, Tana. How are you?
Good to hear you. Good to hear you. Love you, Jerry. Love you, Mama Pat.
I love you too, honey.
I love you, chat. Love you, everybody listening.
I've got 413 here.
That's Alana.
413. That's Alana. Hi, how are you?
Alana, hi, honey.
Hello, my babies. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. How are you,
doing
honey?
Well.
Yeah. I sent an email off to a fearless jackass, and she said, you'll tell the story, you know, or she can read it. I said, you know what? I will tell it. But, you know, if you can't get to me, that's okay. You know, so I'm trying to click in the chat. So I'm just going to put the phone down a bit, if that's okay with y'all. And I'm
okay.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, if it comes to me, let me know. I'll hear.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
honey.
That's great. It's good to hear you. Thanks for calling.
Wow.
And then Pat,
mm-hmm.
And I'm still getting everybody's phone numbers figured out here a little bit.
It's okay.
And then, but, well, anyway, we'll go with it. So if you've called in, you're unmuted. And, look what happened here. Is this Judy?
Yeah.
Hi.
Who's on the line? Hi, Pat.
Hi, honey.
Hi. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. We've got Pat and Tana, and
mm-hmm.
Alana's listening. And Joe, but we're going to assume he's not going to talk. If he wants to talk, he's welcome to, but we're just going to let him
be. Joe's still, you know, I don't know if he'll be able to, but he's with us. Thanks. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
We love you. We love you, Jojo. He's working on his deck and doing stuff, and he's also, you know, a little bit of pain. So, but Alana's on the line. Make Alana talk. Because Alana said she's the most beautiful. I'm not going to read it. I'd rather her go in her own words. But she had a beautiful dialogue with the Father today, and she emailed it to me, and I'm like, now you know I want to read this on the air, Alana. But she said she'd call in, so maybe she'll share. Because it's cool. Cool. That's why God has two church services a day, right? For you
yeah.
to call in and share.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah.
I'm calling late.
Well, you know, I like to get in and get out and get back and da 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 da. So I will tell you very briefly. Let me see if I can find it. I've been struggling with this whole, what is this word that I hear, yada, yada, yada. And then I heard, Judy, I can only hear snippets of the morning show, although the morning show is so mad rich with teaching and information that, you know, you want to hear it, but I just don't have another 2 hours after the show every night. I can't hear it. I heard that. Mm. And what she said was that when she was hearing from God, you would hear the everyday chitter-chatter, you know, that you're doing with God all the time. And then you would hear sometimes from that, the big voice, the I am the Almighty. You know. And, you know, she said, you need that to confirm that, you know, you are where you are. And I was like, okay, all right, because I'm not sure I am where I am. And so this is the story of how I moved away from that, because I've been struggling with that. And, you know, I said, okay, Lord, I heard that, you know, so I'm going to do this. Give me a big voice, all right? I'm awake, all right? I've been listening to the little voice for a long time. It's cool and all that. I got no problems, but sometimes I kind of doubt it, so I'm not really sure.
Oh.
So, you know, so I'm new to this. Believe me, O-line Presbyterians don't talk about this crap. And it's been 40 years since I've been in Presbyterian church, so, you know, I'm coming for way over on another left field. So I will try to tell the story as quickly as I can. So I called in this morning.
Take your time.
Should I go ahead?
Oh, yes.
No, I said take your time. We have time. Take it.
Take time, honey.
Okay, so this morning, you know, I called into the morning service and I, you know, said whatever it was I said. I don't know what it was. But I was thanking Judy for that because that was really, that was a real kernel for me because nobody had ever talked to me in my life ever about hearing from God. And when this started happening, when I first started listening to RCP, I was like, whoa, what is this, you know? So I really didn't know. So I've been struggling, you know, for a few months about where is this coming from? Is it from me? You know, I don't have a whole angels and demons thing, so I didn't really go there. But I was like, yo, is this coming from my head or what's going on? So when she said that, I said, okay, I'm gonna ask you for your big voice to confirm it for me because, you know, pal, I don't know how to do this. So anyway, this morning I had to take my car into the shop. And of course, normally I just went out the way I always went. And, you know, babe, I really don't like this kind of, I'm sorry, I do refer to Jesus oftentimes, especially when we're traveling, is that, because, you know, it's just a friendly relationship, and we just kind of roll that way. So, you know, I said, I heard this, I've been hearing this funky little funk in my car, and I was like, oh, man, you know, I do not like this kind of thing. I do not like money. I do not like car stuff. I'm a woman on my own. I don't know. You know, but fine.
Do not like these angels in him.
Thank you. So I was just talking with him, and I said, okay, you know what? I know I'm trying to occupy here, but I have to occupy responsibly, okay? And I can't occupy frivolously. I'm thinking, well, today's the day that we translate. Y'all could just stay home and just not even bother. And I said, nah, you got to be responsible about this. You know, just be responsible how you're going to do this. So I said, okay, I'm going to do that. But I said, babe, come with me here, and let me just talk to you. So I rolled into the dealership, and I always have my little copy of the New Testament and the Psalms. I always have my little itty bit and my purse copy of He and I.
Amen.
Sanity. I've got it in my desk at work. I've got it in my purse.
Yes.
I just read it all the time. And when I need to, I will do a scripture flip just to tell me what's up. And most times when I really need it to, it will tell me what's up. So I explained about my car and then sat down. And I sat down there for 2 hours before this good thing got around to me. And I was just like, Jesus, you know I don't like this stuff about the car. And you know I don't like the money thing, so, you know, help me out. Help me out. I remember, I think it was Jerry last night talking about take the knot out, and, you know, and
yeah.
I know you rich, so I'm asking you for a loan up in here. I need a loan. And I wasn't really expecting anything, you know. And the guy comes out and he goes, well, you got a problem with your wheel bearings, and take the bolt out, it's 500 And if they can't get the bowls out, it's like 12 hours. I know. I was like, you know, I don't have it like that. You know? And you know, but I said, fine. Okay. Lord, we're just going to have to roll with this. I got a credit card. It's got some room on it. I'm just going to sit here and do that. And, you know, at one point, I did a scripture flip. And the flip took me to Psalm 13:5 and 6, by the way. It said, but I have trusted in your mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. And I was like, oh, damn, okay. And then the other half of the flip, what I do when I flip is I spread my hand out over the scripture. And and so I see a range of things. And so then I see, where am I at now? And I got Psalm 16:5-6. Oh, Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance in my cup. You maintain my lot. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. And then the last one was Psalm 17:7. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust against those who rise up against you. Now, for me and all this stuff, trust is a big issue because I'm not sure where all this stuff is coming from, and rejoicing. Like that first psalm, that's always been something I'm struggling with, and this is telling me trust and rejoice. I'm like, okay. So blah, blah, blah. The dealer comes out again and goes, okay, we can't fix your car today because blah, 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 we can't do it, and we can't get to it till next week. But what you need to know is that you're actually in no danger. Because even though it's the bearings, the car is not going to seize up or anything. And, you know, they always said, all you really need to do is fix your brake light. And that cost me the money I had in my hand. I didn't have to go through a credit card or anything. So I'm like, oh. I'm like, but Jesus, what are we doing here? And it's off. I mean, it's just because we transfer. I mean, I don't even know why. And I said, oh. I'm not getting this. I'm confused. Okay, I'm not. This is not the first time I've been confused. But I'm waiting on the brake lights to get fixed, yada, yada. And I go, Lord, how long is this going to be taking? You know, because I've been in there for 3 hours by then. And he said, how long is this going to take? And he said, 2 o'clock. Oh, okay. So I put that in the back of my head, and I didn't think about it. But then when they finally figured out, you know, Fixmart hooked me up, I paid them my little bit of money, and I had to turn on my GPS because I was a little bit lost. I didn't know where I was. I tried to get my phone. My phone clicks on, and I look at the time. Don't you know what time it was?
2 o'clock?
On the dot. It was
oh, that's God.
That's what I
that's
said.
God. Yeah.
So yep. I'm going home, and I'm like, oh, man, I thought I needed to hear this big voice from you so I could feel secure in what was going on in my head. But he showed me all this stuff in a gentle, small voice, and he was still spot on. And so I could feel like he was talking back to me, and he said, you know, everybody isn't made for that big voice. And you, it would overwhelm you. You're laughing, but you know what I'm talking. I use my small voice.
Aww.
You know, but what I was feeling after that was really sweet. He said, you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. You don't like that. You know, he said, because you don't like to carry that weight.
Yeah.
And that's how you made. You made small and fallible and, you know, all of that. And then I said, oh, my God, I was putting something else on me. I thought I had to do my walk like I had to hear this big voice, yada, yada. And then I finally realized that this is my walk. And I could be fallible. I could be wrong. I could be real. I could be just an ordinary person. And that's how I like it, and that's how he's good with him. I mean, it's good with him. And, you know, it doesn't fit the pattern. But then I was like, well,
big. There's not just one pattern. Everybody got patterns. And when I saw that, the peace and the rejoicing that I was missing was straight up. And it was in my smallness that I saw that peace and that rejoicing. And, you know, like I said to Judy, look, if I ever get the big voice, yeah, well and good. And if I get the smaller voice, the little fallible voice of inspiration, which is what I call it, then that's still good. Worry about it all the darn time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the story. You know what I mean? I'm in and out. But that's the story, and that's where I'm at. And I wanted to share that because there might be other brides out there who are also wondering, do I really hear from him, yada, yada, yada?
Yeah.
It is true. It is true what we said. If you seek him, you will find him, but you may not find him the way you think you're supposed to find him.
Amen.
Amen. Juana, I hope you understand how much a testimony like that can help somebody. That was just really wonderful. Both your faith and the way you experienced hearing, that's just really, I know that'll help a lot of people.
I hope it does, because there was a lot of comments and yada, yada.
Yeah, help me, because, I mean, I've never heard it, like, huge, loud voice, but I think the
thing
would be overwhelming for me.
Yeah.
I think he speaks to me softly, quietly.
Yes.
Sure.
I've never heard big booming voice, or I think I'd crawl under a rock.
Hey, you guys, you know when I was talking about that the other morning, me and Luco call it God's man voice. It's not like it's like this really big loud thing. It's just it's like an unmistakable. It's kind of like, okay, I'll give you an example. Like mostly how I hear God, it's like a normal friend voice. It's a dialogue in my head. It's him and I talking back and forth. It's very much like we're talking now, okay? But another voice that God has, you know how like your friend has different moods, so your friend has different voices that you hang out with, you know?
Yes,
sometimes your friend is like so excited that she's like talking really loud at you or something, and then sometimes your friend, okay, so God, to me, God's the same way, at least that's how I experience it in my life, but like what I was talking about with that loud voice and the man voice that me and Luco joke about, well, we don't really joke, it's the truth. It's, he named it the man voice, but basically for me, that like I like how Alana talked and shared, Alana, thank you, because it's every like her whole point too, and God's point I think is that it's also individual, like our walk with him. And just don't confine God to how he normally talks to you. Don't think that he might not change it up a bit. As you know, he can do anything he wants. But the thing that happens to me sometimes is he'll talk really, like in my spirit, almost like it's
audible.
It's not the regular voice in my head where we're dialoguing. It's like my whole body feels it, and sometimes I'll get a little bit shaky in my body, or I'll get a little bit goosebumpy. But it's this voice that no one else can hear. But it's like a big echo in my mind. Okay, and sometimes it does sound like he's yelling, but he's trying to get his point across. And that's what Luco calls his man voice when it's that kind where it's like unmistakable. And but I like that it's you know, and if he did that man voice all the time, it wouldn't take any faith, right? I mean, it really would. I mean, it wouldn't take any faith. So he spoils me with that big loud thing that he does, you know. And but you know, when he feels like doing it. But for the most part, I just believe by faith, and we all do. When we start believing by faith that the voice we're hearing is him, and we act on it, then he adds to it. Is my experience, you know.
Yeah.
But I liked how. Anyway, it's just wonderful. He's so good. The one time I'm remembering a distinct time when we started our YouTube channel on December 5th, and so many people were being bothered by it, and my son, they would tell me my son's yelling too loud, they can't hear his preaching, I should train him how to talk, how to preach and all this. And I mean, it was just a lot of really mean people and a lot of nice people too, but the thing is so, and then people were getting really offended, and I was seeing that people were really angry, and I thought, oh my God, I was stumble people, like all the stuff that we have shared, God. And I was upset, and I was crying, and I was on my face before the Lord saying, if I've done anything wrong, if my son and I have done anything wrong, and me and Kevin and my son and my sister were, we were praying and saying, you know, God, sorry if we've caused anyone to stumble. And his big man voice said this. He said, as loud as you could ever hear, he went, when they stumbled, they did not stumble upon you. I forget. I made a video about it. He's so loud, he said, you didn't cause them to stumble. They stumbled upon me. And since that day, I never, like, I've apologized for anything, because he said, they did not stumble upon you. They stumbled upon me. Like that. Like,
wow.
And I was like, wow. So good. Our hearts were right, and what God was doing was right, and we weren't lying. We were like, everybody was so mad. And I was like, gosh, I'm causing people to have hate and unforgiveness now, and now they're not going to get raptured. And he's like, no, they stumbled on me. You know, but he yelled it in his man voice, I'm telling you. It was, I've never had a doubt since that day. I've never had a doubt that anything, like, that I shouldn't have said anything, but there still are times where when he talks in his man voice and I get a little bit scared. Because I'm like, you know, when he says things, and I have to hear him say it again, because I'm like, if you're really saying this, it's not very nice. And he's like, yeah, I know.
Too bad. Deal with it.
I think it'd be kind of neat if people could share how God talks to them. I just think it'd be kind of neat to hear everybody. Like, I think it'd be fun.
I can tell you what happened just before I came on. I wrote you an email. I was explaining something. I was sitting at the table, you know, praying and really deep in prayer, like everything glows and next little angels and stuff. And he comes so alive that I just start to cry. And I say, how can two people be so in love with each other and we're not together? Like, when are we going to be together? You know, I'm driving crazy with that. I know you all do at times. And he just said, do you trust me? And that shot me up. And I said, yes, I do trust you. He didn't say anything, nothing. He just addressed, you know, he understood my tears. He understands my tears are your tears too, guys. You know, I always put you in everything with what I have with him. And it's like I'm pleading for all of us, like when. And he just said, do you trust me? Just like that. And I figured, oh, okay. Yeah, I trust you. And I shut up, and then I came online, you know, after I sent you the email. You know, but that was enough. Like, trust me. That seems to be the thing. Trust me. I can't be the only one getting it.
You know, I had a. I'll tell a couple different experiences I had when I was still a teenager, and I didn't know the Lord, and I was doing some of my motorsport things, and there was a very particular situation that was out of the ordinary. And as I was on the racetrack, and I was approaching this situation in what should have been a very low-key situation, but it turned out that it was particularly dangerous. And as I was approaching that situation, I'm going down the racetrack. There's lots of noise. I've got all these things to think about. And something just told me to use extra caution as I approached that spot, because you can't see all the way around on these things. And I couldn't see what I was heading into. And I was just like, okay, I don't know where that came from. And I don't think that was my original thought, because that's not normally what I think of at this spot. But I backed off, and I went around the corner, and I still actually had a problem. But because I had slowed down and adjusted because of what he said to me, it kept me from having a really terrible, serious problem. And so he was speaking to me, and I had no idea who he was, but he was there. And when I needed to hear something, he didn't shout it into my ear or into my mind, but he spoke it clearly, and I could hear it, and I responded to it, And after the fact, it was like, wow, that was really amazing. And I never forgot it because,
yeah.
And so it took, you know, whatever, 20 years later, and then I get saved, and then I begin to understand. And really, he took it out of my mind for a period of time while I was growing in my faith and kind of developing. And then he brought it back to me and caused me to realize that it was him all along. And then I had another situation many years after that I was preparing to do something, and there was a lot of emotion wrapped up in it, and at sort of the very last minute, it looked like it might not happen. And it was sort of one of those windows in your lives where you're sort of opening up a new thing, and it really agonized me, and so I laid it at his feet. I mean, I was consciously laying at his feet, and just it's like, you know, this is really troubling, and I hadn't at that time been very aware of him speaking to me, but then very clearly in my spirit, he just said, "Why do you doubt?" And I was like, "Whoa!"
Oh yeah, that was him.
And you know, and that was him saying, you know, not just be encouraged. He was saying, "Wipe it all away." And as it turned out, that's how things went, and things went very well. But at the moment, it didn't look like they were going to be very good, and it looked like everything was going to not go as planned. And he sent that very strong message to me. And you know, and the other thing that he showed me was my reaction to what he said. It wasn't just his words. It wasn't just his encouragement of don't doubt. But it was also, he showed me that in an instant, when he gave me a communication, I was willing to accept it fully. And I was at peace from that moment forward. So he showed me two things. He gave me an encouragement about what I was praying about, but he also showed me that I was in a place where I was willing to totally accept his lead when I understood it clearly. And those were two very important things for me.
Wow. Beautiful.
Well, that's, you know, if I could, I'd like to share the story of my 14-year-old nephew. I've been here a whole week at their house because their dad's on a business trip. He'll be coming home today. And we talk about God, me and Gabriel. I've told you guys now. I've told a lot of you the things that God has told Gabriel. Well, earlier in the week, he was on the bed and we prayed. And we hadn't talked about God like we used to in the summer when he was with me every day. So, you know, he was starting to doubt some things. And so I said, well, you have to talk to God yourself. So we were asking God things, and then God was speaking to him, but he wasn't sure because he wasn't sure of the voice. You know, he's like, I think this is what I heard. And I said, okay, all right, well, it was him. And he goes, yeah, but I'm not sure. And I go, but it is him. I said, you just have to believe it, sweetheart. You have to believe it. And it sounded right. My spirit was like, yeah, that's me. And so I told him, well, the voice that told him was that he was a part of the people that were coming back, you know. I call it the coming back, the CB. Call it the 144K. I mean, all I know is there's a bunch of us coming back during the trip, and he felt that God was showing him he was going to be doing that. So then I said, I prayed for him, and I said, okay, now, Lord, I pray that you will speak to Gabriel so that he will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's you, okay? So he's having to believe by faith what you just said. But I prayed over him. I prayed over the other children, too, that they would know that it would be unmistakable that you know that you know. Okay, God doesn't do that every day with me, the know that you know, but I just believe it by faith because I know I've been talking to him for years, okay? So it's a relationship that you just get to know and trust. Well, anyway, then a couple nights later, and I jumped in the chat room, and people were there, and I told them. He was amazed because he was in his bed. Because I tell the kids, I'm like, talk to God like you're a friend. I try to get them out of the habit of shutting their eyes and praying before dinner and before bedtime. I'm like, just talk to him all day. Like, pray with your eyes open, you know, just make it like he's right here. So I've been trying to say that when I'm here, like, just talk to him all the time. Don't make it a religious habit where it's boring. Just constantly dialogue with him in your head or out loud. So basically he said he was on his bed. It was like 10:30 at night. And he was just doing what I, you know, he was just saying, God, thank you for helping me do good in my presentation in my English class today. Is there anything you want me to do? He just kind of felt like a lot of people that start hearing God's voice, they keep thinking they have to do something for God. And I was like, ugh. So he's always feeling guilty, like he wasn't doing anything. And so he said, is there anything I need to do? And I had told him, like, a while back, like, you don't. God just wants you. He just wants a friendship with you. He just likes you. He's not looking for you to do anything, but he'll give you a job. But you just have to get to know him and just be, you know. So anyway, so God speaks to him, unmistakable. Unmistakable. I'm going to read you the words he texted to me from down the stairs. He was so shocked. And he said, oh, my God, OMG. he said, I was just praying, talking to God, and I told him, thank you for helping me in my poetry presentation thing. And then I asked him what I needed to do now and stuff like that. And he said, here's what God told him, you guys, unmistakable. This is what I call the man voice. He said, be patient, my child. Your time will come. And what he knew what God meant. That's what was so cool. God literally said, and he heard it unmistakably. It wasn't like when we were in the bed when I was praying with him and he thought he heard it. I mean, he said, I'm pretty sure, but I'm like, you just have to. Well, this time he didn't even need faith to believe it because it was so loud and clear in his spirit, okay? Does that make sense? Like the times where you need faith to believe it. So that's what I think I call the man voice, is where you don't need faith to believe it. Like Jerry's story, like that, you don't need faith to believe that. You just know it, okay? Well, sometimes God speaks to us where we just need faith to believe it's him, but sometimes it's just so unmistakable that it's him. Well, that's what happened to Gabriel. So he was thrilled, and then he said after that, he knew what God meant. He meant when you come back, your time has not yet come, be patient. So God was telling him, you don't have to do anything for me now. You're going to be doing it when you come back, which we know is now. Like, so he was really excited. And then not only that, he finished the text saying, and then I asked him what I, and then I felt his presence really strong. He said it's the presence of God fell over him really strong. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened last summer when I led him to the Lord, you know, with God used the cat. But anyway, God led him to his side through the kitty, and God touched him, and he felt him in his heart, like, really strong. He said, I got that same strong feeling in my heart where God touches me. So I just wanted to share that because he's 14. See, he's 14.
Wow.
And you just have to believe, you guys. And God will spoil you. He'll spoil you with his man voice where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's him. But oftentimes the common voice is one that you just have to take by faith. That's how I live every day. Like, he talked to me quite a bit today, but I just believe by faith.
Yes.
I have to pause. But anyway, that's what I wanted to share. I hope it encourages somebody. But it's an exciting story.
He said that in He and I. He said, why do you doubt? He says, it seems so like your own voice, but are we not one? He says, don't you think I can talk to you? You know, like, we think it's our own voice, but he's using our own thoughts and our own voice and everything in us to speak to us. That's how and sometimes I always hear like a man's voice, but he'll use our thoughts or everything. He'll use whatever we are to manifest his thoughts to us. I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but he says, don't doubt. He says, act like then, he said, hidden in the book, he says, act like you believe it. You know, don't doubt me. That if you're talking to him, he's talking to you. I mean, he's talking to you. but you got to believe that he can talk to you. If you believe that, then, so simple. Really, it is very simple. Because it's based on the sincerity of a relationship with him.
I have a dialogue going on in my head with Jesus when he's talking to me. But then the Holy Spirit, I feel it down in my gut. Like, if the Holy Spirit's talking to me, I feel it down in my gut. But in my mind, I feel the conversation with the Lord.
Like that one time I was in the car, like it was about 3 weeks ago, and I was having a little, not a pity party, but I told you guys, and he said, like, don't be attracted to these things because you won't be here that long. And it was like, it was almost audible, and it just like shocked through my system, my head, my soul, because I knew it was him, just like Gabriel knew, and others know, and he said that, you know, and it was, and I wasn't looking for it, and he just zapped, just said that, so clear in my head. Oh my gosh, yeah, you know, you just know, that's God, yeah. So I shut up.
Would it make sense to anybody if I said he has no pretense? Because it seems like the quieter a voice I listen to, or I'm listening for, the better I hear him.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense? Does that hold with anybody?
Yes.
Because
yes, many times I've read that he speaks in a very quiet voice within you. But then, for whatever the occasion, like I heard him six nights in a row talking audibly, saying, calling my name, and by the third time I finally got it. I mean, dummy do here, you know, I finally... But he has all kinds of ways that, you know, he speaks to us. He'll speak through other people. He'll speak through some situation in life. He will speak in your heart. And sometimes, as Judy says, it's the man voice, or it's that soft, quiet voice within you. And you just know after a while that's him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got
especially
Keith
if you
on
believe
the line,
it.
I think.
Yeah. Hey, Keith.
Are you there? Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, everybody. Good. Yeah, for
Hi,
me,
Keith.
Like, it's a...
Hi, Keith.
Go ahead.
Oh, welcome, Keith. We're glad you're here.
Yeah.
Love you, Keith.
Judy prayed for me earlier, and God always,
mm-hmm.
God works through certain prayers to certain people, you know, and he always works through Judy. When, you know, there's always someone that can pray for you, and you'll see results because God's working through that person, and God's energy came through, and I was not doing good this morning. And Judy prayed.
Mm-hmm.
Lord told me, call Judy. She prayed, and I felt a clearing of energy. And then,
mm-hmm.
Like the energy just shifts. I felt some demons come off of me, and they just left. And I felt immediately better, like a light switch went on. Praise God. And then, and then just now, I had this street healer come and see me. You know, and it's interesting because with the street healers, they're all about you got a pain in your back, okay? You know, and I'm not putting them down, but the reality is their faith sometimes is based on, you know, pain and not like someone that has cancer. There's different, like the Lord has shown me with healing. There's different levels of faith. You always want to increase your gifts, and you want to climb to the next level. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing. So he emailed me and was like, okay, Keith, okay, yeah, okay, I'll pray for that. I can tell he was a little unsure, but I said, you know, I want you to climb to the next level of faith. You know, when you pray for me, we're not praying for an earache or arm shoulder hurt, you know, none of that. I want you to step to the next level. You know, I already told him because I already saw this in the spirit realm that this was it. So when he got here, my brother had some back pain. He immediately went to my brother, and I could already see a cloud around of insecurity, you know. So he prayed for my brother. My brother felt some demons leave his back, and then I felt the Holy Spirit. My brother saw waves of the Holy Spirit coming off of this guy. So we knew he was anointed. And then I saw some stuff. So I saw an angel standing beside him. So God showed me that he's got
wow.
an angel to do the healing. But he doesn't know. He's just like he's about, you know, 45 years old, but he's just a simple guy. He doesn't really, he can't see in the spirit realm, you know, and all that stuff. Which is why he's a street healer, because he doesn't, you know, I would be like, oh my gosh, I hope I'm not embarrassing this person, you know what I mean? But he can't see that. He just puts a hand on and prays. That's what God showed me. So, yeah, that's
yeah.
what God just showed me. So, anyway, so when he prayed over me, he was immediately like, I could tell he was nervous, so I just said, let's, you know, go ahead and do it. Let's just do it. You're praying for my intestinal tract. We're not, just step up, you know. So he did, and I felt some pain, some really hard pain in my stomach. Like the enemy was trying to do that, and then I felt the Holy Spirit had this cool energy and went through and, like, really cold energy, cooled it, like, took it away. And then it started going lower. So I said, move lower, you know, and then I said, do my legs, and then my back, and then I felt the Holy Spirit running through me, like a cold, clear energy. And then, so that was great. And then he didn't know what to do. I said, we're standing in faith, you know, I know you're used to seeing, you know, fly by night, party tricks and stuff. I call the street healer party tricks, but I said, well, you know, we're standing in faith. And then it's weird, immediately the Lord showed me that he should be, because he's anointed, you know, because he was like, no, I'm not anointed. I said, stop it. Sometimes Christians don't know how to receive it. You know, God always tells me, you're supposed to love God, and you're supposed to love your neighbor as well. So don't be afraid to receive a compliment from another Christian. You know, sometimes they don't know how to receive. I said, no, but God anointed you. You know, it's one of your gifts. Be happy for it, you know. Thank God for it, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
So, and I got a message that he should be in hospitals praying for cancer because God said he would heal people through cancer through him. So I just emailed him and I said, I think it's wonderful that you stood up in faith. You stepped to the next level like God wants you to do. Now God's telling you need to go to the next level because he showed me directly him placing hands on people with cancer and that God would heal him with that angel next to him.
Wow.
He's anointed. I said, you need to go do that. Yeah. So that was a really cool experience. And then, like, my friend Christina Williams has said, you know, she's so supportive and been helping me so much. Her prayers, she always prays in tongues for me, and I always feel I get stronger from it. It's amazing. God works through her as well. But, you know, well, did you get healed? And I said, well, I'm just standing in faith, you know. And one other thing I wanted to say was, like, you guys were talking about the topic of how you hear from God. It's different with me because of the gifting. Like, I just don't, like, most people will, you know, will hear through the Holy Spirit stuff. It's different with me with that. I just use my gifts is where I hear from God through. I mean, the Holy Spirit will say things, but it's kind of back burner stuff. mine is mostly like, well, I'll get this major, the gift of knowledge will come through. It'll just be like the whole thing will come through in a split second. It's like a ball of information, and it comes through in 1 second, and then it just completely unravels as if it was peeling off of onion. And it just, the whole thing hits at one time, you know. And then many times I'll see visions, you know. I like to use my gifts in unison. So sometimes I'll be feeling their energy, and then I'll be seeing a vision with them, and then I'll be hearing something at the same time. God will bring all my gifts together, the feeling, the seeing, the knowing. And it's like a 3D movie. It's very fast with me. It's very, very fast. It's so fast, it's just almost a split second. And then at the same time, many times it's like a movie playing, you know, and I love that stuff. And many of you in RCC got this stuff too. So like I always talk about, if you're a feeler, you know, don't just be stuck on the small voice. Start feeling their energy. Ask yourself a question. What am I feeling about this person? That'll open up for you. I mean, God wants you to see things in 3D. He's not 1D. He's a 3D God, you know. So focus on what you're feeling. Focus on what you're thinking, what are coming into your mind. You know, ask if you're not sure, you can ask yourself a question. What am I feeling about this person? Or ask yourself, do I feel this person, you know, has my best interest at heart? Does this person love the Lord? I guarantee you, if every one of you in RCC, in the chat room, and in the phone, if you walked up to somebody that you didn't know at the store, and you said, God, does this person know you, yes or no, and you didn't know anything about this person, no guessing, you just said, ask yourself in your mind, Lord, does this person know you or not? I guarantee you, God would tell you in 2 seconds. Lord, give me some feeling about this. If you're a feeler, Pat could say, give me a feeling about this woman. What's she like?
I had that today.
Guarantee
Pat
would pick it right up, right? 2 seconds, Pat would happen.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, Pat would should be writing a 20-page book on it. I'm telling you, the information just keep going.
At the store
today, so if
you're today,
a thinker,
I
ask yourself
praying.
A question.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I was praying
at
the store. A woman came by. I was waiting for my daughter. I didn't mean to interrupt, but forget. The woman walked by me and a few times, and I had the most peaceful feeling toward her, you know, that she was just really a lovely soul. And then another lady next to me, and I was sitting there, and Jesus says, why didn't you talk to the person next to you? And I said, sometimes I'm a little shy, you know, whatever. But a baby went by laughing, and the both of us were laughing, and then we started talking. She had an accent. She had a little trouble talking, but we said, God bless you, and we talked about ourselves. And it was just, that's all he wanted me to do, was just show kindness and love. Didn't have to talk about anything particular. And that's what I do. Because I sit there and I say, well, I'm sitting here. What do you want me to do?
There you go.
Is it somebody? And, so I pray for
good
everybody
job,
who's there.
You got that healing center, so you're using it. You know,
whenever I'm in the store, I say, is there somebody here you want me to talk to? And, boy, sometimes it is off the charts. It is
there you
off
go. And then
the
if
charge.
The people, if you're a thinker out there, you would just ask God a question about the person, you know, and you'll hear
involved.
God in 3D. You'll hear all kinds of. You'll start to feel things, sense things. You know, you'll use your gifts, but you'll get things in multidimensional ways. And then when God wants to tell you something about you, He'll show you in the same thing. He'll give Pat a feeling, or He'll give Jerry lives in his head, so He'll give Jerry a thought. Judy lives in her head, but she's also a feeler. Bishop Grommet lives in her head. You know, I've got both going on. Like, Judy and I are similar in that. You know, Leah lives in her head, you know, and then Lana, definitely feeler. Tana, more of mine, you know. So use your gifts that God gave you, you know, and you'll get so much more.
Yeah, that's what happened today.
Activate it by
people.
Asking questions, like Pat's doing. Pat's asking questions. She's activating it. And then God wants you to ask Him. He wants you to, you know, we're humans, right? Like, God showed me a maze. A couple of months ago, God showed me a picture of a maze. And it was the whole world. It had all the Christians and all the people believing God, blah, 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 in the maze. You know, the ones that are for Him, right? And then it showed all the lukewarm Christians, everything. So the maze had all the people in there for God, right? But God told me, here on the left here, Keith, I want this person, this was like a vision, I want the person up here in the left corner to get something to this person in the lower right corner. And but he said, but and he showed it to me, and he couldn't do it. The person could never get to this person because in between there's a bunch of people just sitting there doing nothing for the Lord, stuck. Mm-hmm. So the maze was just, this was a worldwide maze. Can you imagine how, it's like a 405 freeway in L.A. It was a mess. It was just a mess.
Wow.
Yeah, how sad, huh? He was very sad over this. He goes, this is like very much hurt his feeling. He goes, how, he told me, Keith, how can I get my kingdom to work when all these people in the middle are doing nothing? In fact, they're busy fighting everything else, right?
Yeah.
So, and then he told me, now think about this. This was an instant flash, the whole thing, the vision. He said, now think about this. What if every single one of these people were doing something for me and listening to me and you know, and using the gifts? Can you imagine what my kingdom could do on earth?
It would be on earth. Right.
And that's why I'm always pushing people to use their gifts, you know. But that's what I wanted to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
I think that's amazing, Keith, that you're going to them for healing and then teaching them about it. I think that's an amazing thing. And
I was going to say, but that's probably why God had that happen. I mean, God orchestrated that for Keith to help this guy. It probably had nothing to do. It's probably because God wanted him to, you know, use his gift. So.
Sure. No, God will use you where you are, Keith. He's got you there for a very poignant reason. You know, you're going to heal us and stuff, but you're going to be teaching and showing other people and uplifting them, and, you know, you're going to minister to them. Definitely.
I love it, too.
It's a hotbed for ministering.
Oh, it is. It is.
Keith, Keith, do you think that that man was being held back by a kind of a religious sort of perspective?
Well,
like he's concerned about the vocabulary and all that.
Well, it's interesting, Jerry, because obviously you're using your gift right now from God, the knowing, right, the word of knowledge, because you got that about him. So I'm going to say, yes, Jerry, you're right, and I'm going to tell you why God told you that, because he sat down and talked to us for about 40 minutes, and he spent the first 25 minutes saying that he was in the full-fledged Mormonism, all about rules and regs. And see how God helped? God just told you that. That was your gift of knowledge right there.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
You just go with it. And he was in Mormonism, and it took him a lot to pull out all that, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, absolutely.
We live in Babylon, so our language is confused.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
It's weird because I can, you know, there's some people I can reach. You know, I can see into their spirit, and I can locate them very quickly. But, like, there was, like, three, some people, though, it's very difficult. There was, like, three kids walking around that were for the Jehovah's Witnesses. And my brother was like, it was very difficult because they didn't. You know, he said, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? They said, yes. But then you look on the website and you know that they don't teach that. So if someone's lying to you, when people lie, get away from them because you're locating the wrong. It's like the demon in front of you. It's just going around in circles. So just get away from that. You want to work with truth. We work with truth and people that are honest when they talk to you and stuff. You know, and again, it's like Jerry, that was great. You used your gift. Definitely that was awesome.
Yeah, cool. Okay. I have two people on here I want to bring on. One is 626, and let's see if I can.
Oh, hi,
Leah. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you? I'm okay.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Do you have anything you want to talk about today?
No, but I do have a request for some extra prayer. I already talked to the Lord about it, so I'm not really concerned, but I would appreciate the extra prayer. I was out a little bit earlier, and I, like, broke one of my toes, so I just like a little bit of extra prayer for that.
Oh,
wow. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
You broke your toe?
Yeah, I was playing with my younger son in, like, the bouncy house, and, like, he ended up, like, kicking my second toe on my foot, but he kicked it, like, really hard, and it was just that one toe, and so that's what happened.
Oh,
I'm going to ask, Keith, will you lead us in a prayer for Leah?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we thank you, Lord, for Leah. We love her so much, Lord. We thank you that she's part of RCC, and Leah always blesses us. We know she's always listening to the show, and we just really like Leah a lot, Lord. She's just a wonderful blessing to us. And we come against all spirits that are coming against whatever spirits that are trying to cause problems with her right now, with her feet or toe, whatever. It doesn't matter. Anything in her body. We come against them in Jesus' name. We have all authority and power. They will not bother her, and they will go away in Jesus' name. We command those places to be restored. We have all authority and power, and we execute that right now. We thank you, Lord, that will happen, and she will feel better. And take any anything that's coming against her mind of worry, stress, anxiety, I can see that in her mind right now. Lord, we come against that. We cast that out. We cast the spirit of anxiety, fear, stress out of her mind. We bring in love and joy and peace. Mm-hmm. Tremendous joy. Overflow her, Holy Spirit. Fill her up. Overflow her. Make her feel wonderful. She's a wonderful woman of the Lord. Lord, she's going to do great things for you. We also ask you, we come against any spirits that are coming against her home and her household and relationships and all that stuff. We bind those and we cast those out. We release God's blessing on her finances and her health, and we know you're good for her, Lord. We already know. I can already see that you're already in motion doing that right now as we're talking, and we thank you for that, and all glory be to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to join with Leah in your power. We love you, and we thank you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, knit those bones together quick, my love. Make her feel better quick. In thy name we pray, my love. Amen.
Thanks, Leah.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Thanks, Keith.
Sure.
Leah, it's Judy. I have to pray for you, too, because I love you.
I love you, too.
So, Father, we thank you. I agree with all those prayers, and they worked. So I agree with them, and I just want to ask for an extra blessing, a measure of portion of your spirit. Fall on Leah, even right now, and fill her, and not only will you heal her toe, but you'll go through her whole body and touch her, bring your angels to surround her. Thank you for Leah. Fill her to the fullest, as she's filled so many people with the word of God from her to you, to them, Lord. And I ask for like a triple portion today for her. In Jesus' name, thank you for this opportunity to pray for Leah. Thank you for healing that toe and fixing everything else while you're at it. Whatever else.
Amen.
Overflow.
Amen.
Everything in her
mouth. I love you so much, Judy.
I think he wants to do more. Like, I just sense him wanting to throw peace all over your house, over your children, over your husband. I just sense not only does he, you know, I think he let the toe thing happen so we can agree as a church to just pray over you, your whole entire household. Not that anything's wrong. I just feel him wanting to throw a wave of spirit over your way, like even stronger. So we just agree as a body, Lord.
We agree.
We love
Amen.
You.
We agree.
You would do some supernatural activity in there and work on and establish yourself and your kingdom in their house and in everything Leah puts her hand to, and encourage her and lift her up, Father. And I pray for some supernatural miracles until we fly today. There might be an hour or two left before we go. But I'm believing that you are going to do something in this house, because I'm feeling that. Feeling that. It started with the toe, but it's going to get the whole house. In Jesus' name, we love you, Lord. We love the way you work. We love your surprises. We love it when you come in the back door when we weren't even expecting it, and clobber, like, you know, like Carol, like clobber somebody over the head with a big Bible. Get them good, Lord. No, but get them good. Get, I don't know, someone in the house needs to have the word of God, and I just declare it, that Leah's house is a house where the word of God stands and is proclaimed and preached and believed and listened to and followed by. In Jesus' name, we thank you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Woo! I just had to get that off my chest.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Leah. Thank you for bringing peace to her household. Thank you for healing her toe. For by your stripes she is healed. We just love her, and we thank you for showing her household and Leah herself with your love and peace. Okay.
Amen.
I also have somebody else. 614. Who are you?
Chris Bottom.
Who's this?
Hi.
Hi.
Steph.
How are you?
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris. Will you help us pray for Bill? Bill, as we were praying for Leah, Bill just said, please include for me. And Bill doesn't always ask for prayer, so let's lift up Billy. He wants us to pray for his pinched back, his arm, his hand, and his nerves. So he has something going on that's affecting his pinched back, arm, hand, and nerves. And maybe we can agree as a church again. And we've done this, and people have been healed. So, Lord, we believe you. And we rebuke the spirit of infirmity. We cast you out. We say infirmity off of Bill in the name of Jesus. And we take authority over that. And, Lord, we thank you. We declare healing over Bill and Bella, his dog, too, because she has a little owie. And we ask you to bless Bill. Fill him to overflow with your spirit in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And for me, too. I accept that for me, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, your blessings, peace, and healing over Bill's household, spiritually and physically, that these things be made right, and that relief will come as we know you have provided relief for us. We trust you because you know you do these works and you bring these things to us for your glory. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. So, does anybody else have anything that we should pray for? Okay.
I listened to the morning show, and now that we have Chris on the line, I wish she could share the vision that she shared on the morning show. In case someone didn't catch the morning show. If Chris is on the line, I think she is. Can you share that,
you know,
Chris?
What? She was, but I don't see her right now. She may have dropped. She dropped off.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, you'll have to tune in. Call back, Chris. Or I'm not going to tell you guys. It's in the first hour of the morning show. I think it's even in the first half hour. Very cool. But the bottom line is we're leaving. The chariot's getting closer. But it's better to hear it from her voice.
Yeah, definitely. So I was kind of moved today to really focus on the concepts of joy and faith. And then he took me in a little bit of a different direction. Oh, there she is. Hold on. I think. Is that you, Chris?
Hi.
Hi.
Of my vision, I looked this morning, and lo and behold, I didn't see any chariots. They had disappeared. All I saw was a white, blurry buzz. And I realized that the chariots were just moving around so fast that they looked like just a big blur. So, and then later on today, I heard, "Here comes the bride" in my vision. So, you know, whatever is happening out there, I hope it's good.
Wow,
awesome.
Great.
Yeah, thank
beautiful
you, Chris.
Vision.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, I thought what we might do in a little while is have some people take either their favorite psalm or whatever psalm they're moved to. David had a lot of trouble in his life, but still he wrote in the Psalms about joy, even when he wrote about his troubles. He wrote about his joy in the Lord and his faith. And so some of you, if you would consider, I'll try to find in chat, but I'm going to be doing something here in a minute. If you would think about if there's a particular psalm that you're led to read, I'd like to read a few of those today because they cover so much the way he wrote, the gift he gave us from God in those ways in the psalms. So if you would think about that a little bit, and God led me really to think about the joy of the Lord today and the way it is. And it can be found in a lot of different places. And if I said Jonah, the books of Jonah and Job, probably not a lot of people would think that those books are about joy and faith. But one of the things that he really led me to think about was that this is the joy of the Lord. Because in both cases, the Lord did a work that he wanted to do. And it created, for a time, a lot of trouble in the lives of these two men. Jonah, I kind of looked this up, and Jonah was the son of Amittai. That's how the book starts out. Well, Jonah means dove, and Amittai means truth. So Jonah, son of Amittai, means dove, the son of truth. And, of course, the dove represents the Holy Spirit. And then we know the story, and that Jonah was not a very willing messenger and helper of the Lord in this cause. And he was really sort of, he was unhappy and kind of angry to the end. I'm going to read the last four verses of Jonah, chapter 4, verse 8, beginning at verse 8. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "It is right for you to be angry. Is it right to be for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I am so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" And that's how the book ends. And God had saved, or at least deferred, judgment over Nineveh, because Jonah begrudgingly delivered the message the Lord had for them. And Jonah wasn't happy about it, and he was angry about a lot of things. But the joy of the Lord here was in the work that the Lord did. And Jonah was having trouble seeing that because he didn't like the people. And in the very end, God's saying, "Look, you're concerned about this plant because it's over your head. You're totally self-centered. But what about the 120,000 people who are," he's essentially saying, "that they're blind, they don't understand, you know, their spiritual condition." And then he goes and says, "and also many animals." And so the Lord is concerned about the animals that are in Nineveh as well as the people. And this was the joy of the Lord here, was to do this work. Jonah did the work, but he didn't share in the joy because his focus wasn't the focus of God. And then Job, we know that Job, it's a very long book, but we know that Job is about a man who God allows to undergo a lot of trial. And God calls him a righteous man. In verse 1:6, this story sort of starts, and it goes, the NIV. "On the day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord." Other books, other translations say, actually, let me go to this, because this is different. I'll just go to King James. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." So he's differentiating there. And then in verse 1:11, Satan is speaking, and he says to God, "Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." And that means put forth thy hand. That's a way of saying let go of. And so he's telling God, let go of your protection of Job and I will trouble, he's basically Satan saying, then I'll attack him, and then he'll curse you because you've let this happen. Well, we know the story, and it goes on from there, and Job goes through a lot of trouble. But in the end, it is a joy to Job and a joy to the Lord. And beginning at the last chapter of Job is verse 42. Verse 42:10, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job, the trouble basically, when he turned it around, when he prayed for his friends, as Job had done. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. There came unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat with him in his house. In other words, he was accepted back by his friends. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And one of the cool points about Job, which I'm sure some of you know, is that, you know, it says that the Lord basically gave Job a double blessing. And then people say, but he only ended up with the same number of sons and daughters as he had to begin with. And the reason that's a double blessing is because he didn't lose all of them. The Lord had taken them in protection in the afterlife. In their deaths, he had taken their spirits and was in control of them. So in reality, he had doubled his family as well. So this was the work of the Lord, and this was the joy of the Lord. And Job, in the end, had joy, but he went through a lot of trouble before he got there. But his joy was aligned with the joy of the Lord in the end. And so that's how the book there ends. Does somebody have a psalm that they're ready to read?
I looked them up here. There's one, 126, I can read for you if you want. And let's see, there's let me see, 90. I think 98 is probably better here.
Also read 103 for me.
103, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. Hang on. I just had it. No, there's a bunch. There's 1630, there's 98, 126, 132, 146. You're saying 103, and there's 51. But I'm looking at, I was looking at 98 here. Hang on, guys. 107. All right, let me read 103, because I'm coming to this before the other one. Okay. 101, 102, 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, all my soul. Well, that's nice.
Oh, that's my most favorite one. Man, I read that first part
beautiful.
Of it. I'll read that first part, the one about the healing and stuff. I'll read that over and over.
Oh,
like sometimes
yes.
I'll spend 15 minutes and I'll just say it over and over and over. He forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases, crowns me with life,
yeah.
You know, satisfies me with good things, my youth is renewed like the eagles. I mean, it's just it's a powerful one. It's so beautiful and anointed and
I was
and
thinking
amazing.
Of you when I was reading it when it came
cool.
to that part, definitely.
Yeah,
do you want 98? Yeah.
Thank you, Pat.
Sure.
Okay. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. So, yeah. So those are two. There's five more especially, but maybe, you know, that's good.
I have Psalm 27. I have Psalm 27 that I like.
Okay.
Yes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord, be merciful to me, answer me. My heart says of you, seek your face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face, and you do not turn your servant from anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Teach me to see.
Thanks, Tom. We've got Carol on the line. Carol, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi,
hey,
honey.
So I have two 1-0s on the board.
Yes, you do. And I'll tell you why. Hey, Gary.
Well, first of all, let me
say hello to everybody. Tana, Pat.
Hi,
Keith, honey. Gary. Everybody in chat, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I'm doing my kind of imitation. Hey, I don't know why I'm getting an echo. Are you guys getting an echo from me?
Yeah, a little bit.
Why?
Well,
tell us about the 2-1-0s.
Okay,
we have two 210s on the line.
I know you do, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm at my friend's house, my friend Irma, and she's on her phone, and I'm on my phone.
Okay, cool.
And she's listening. She's listening to the show.
Hi, Irma.
Hi, Irma.
We love you.
Hi, Irma.
How are you all?
Good. How are you, honey?
Very well.
Good.
I told her because we're way down south, down Castroville.
Oh.
We're in Texas.
Wow.
She's my retrocentric buddy. Down
right
here.
On. Yay.
I led her to the Lord, and then I led her to become retrocentric. So today I came over to her house, and we did some Bible thumping. I did Bible thumping teaching with her and her two grandkids that were 15 and 16.
Because the echo is because we have both of those phones open. So, Irma, would you like to say anything? Because otherwise I can mute you.
Yeah, I'm
going to
mute myself.
Okay.
Oh, no, I just was wanting to listen. I told Carol and I just wanted to say, well, I'll say hello once she gets you on the line. But, no, that was it. The readings were great. I enjoyed them.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You love her. Welcome to the family.
You're welcome anytime.
Yeah, welcome, honey. Welcome.
Welcome anytime. Even if Carol's not there, you can still call in. We'd love to chat with you.
Sure.
That's right.
Yes, it sounds great.
Cool. Yeah, thank you. We love you.
Ahead.
Thanks.
Thank you. Well, go ahead. I'm listening. It's my first time, so I thought I wanted to listen in.
Welcome, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one of these times, Irma, when you call in, one of these times we'll play telephone on you. We'll say what we get from God. Maybe when you feel more comfortable, but...
Thank you for calling in.
Bye.
Sweetie.
Bye.
Sweet lady.
Yes. I don't know if you guys can hear me. I came to another room because maybe that's why we were getting an echo.
We were sitting next to each other,
and I said, well, let me go to the other room. To the other room to talk. So I think the echo has
muted Irma. I muted Irma, so we're good now.
Just you can listen.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. We this morning I had such a strong unction to get together with her. We don't see each other very often because we live an hour away. We've been best friends since we were kids, since high school,
sweet.
And she works. She works and all, but. I really wanted to see her and her grandkids because her grandkids are, I led them to the Lord too a few years ago.
Oh, great.
And they came over, so we had a really good Bible thumping Bible study, and they're excited about the rapture as well. Her grandson is 16, and you know what? He was playing on YouTube. He showed us a YouTube video from somebody. I don't know who the guy's name was, but it was Christ is the King, and he had a really, really timely end time message. And he's the one who showed it to us. So we were listening to that message. It was really awesome, really. And I explained a lot of things to them. And then. We prayed for Irma's puppy dog, and what else did we? And this was so sweet. You know, the kids are so good. They're just so preserved, so protected. They have such a heart for the Lord and for each other. And we didn't know this, but her 16-year-old grandson has a girlfriend, and she called him while we were having the Bible study. Well, I didn't know, right? And we didn't know. And so when we were done, he mentioned that she texted him, or I think she texted him. And we were really surprised that he had a girlfriend. We said, well, what did you say to her? You know, when she called, he said, well, I told her I was having a Bible study. And she said, okay, well, I'll talk to you later. Can you believe that? 16-year-old would rather have the Bible study than to talk to his girlfriend. He told her,
"Wow, cool."
Yeah. Yeah, so this is, I'm telling you, this is really exciting. Where's Judy Booty?
She's there somewhere.
Okay. Well,
she's
right.
Hanging out.
You know, okay, well, everybody in chat, I love you guys, you know, and we're not going to stay on the phone too long, but I wanted to bring Irma on. And I think tomorrow morning the grandkids are going to get on the phone. I'll have to call them.
Oh, great.
But they're going to call from their house. Because I told them about the show. So, yeah, this is exciting. So if
we love you,
course,
Carol.
I love you too, and that's if we're still here. So carry on. And
okay,
God bless you guys.
In there, Carol.
You bet.
Okay, thank you, honey.
Good night. Good day.
Good to hear from you, both of you.
Okay, we're going to mute ourselves for a little bit.
Okay.
We'll listen for a little bit, and may the Lord bless us.
That was great.
We love Irma, Carol. We might even
like
her more than you.
Tell her to come call anytime, too.
Yeah, call
anytime. Both of you guys. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, that's good.
It's very cool, yeah.
I want to play catch-up for Keith a little bit because you asked for something, Keith, yesterday, and I'm going to try to play a song for you. See?
Oh.
Okay. I know. I thought Jerry was controlling me. He's got a big keyboard and everything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Dedicating you that and everybody in our
team. I love these words.
Touch me in the pouring rain, and the moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, then you softly.
Jerry. That's so wonderful.
Thank you. I just love that song.
And I know Kat does, too.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
You can feel the deep waters of love that you feel for Jesus. I was telling you something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Deep.
You're welcome.
really deep.
That's great.
That's for all of us, though, really.
Yes.
We're all very deep. Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm going to give a mini personal testimony here. Today, it just turns out that, you know, I've talked about being a gearhead and I like airplanes and cars and all kinds of cool stuff like
You're
that.
You're a guy.
And, cool. Yeah. And it just so happens that today I've got, literally, at least for parts of the day, some really cool airplanes flying over my head. And they're from an airport not too far from me. They're having an air show. And it would have been a simple thing to go over there and spend some time. And then also in town at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is a group that I have participated with a little bit and know some people there. And they're having a really big event with some super cool stuff and some people I know, and it would have been really neat to be over there. And lots of, as we say, eye candy for the gearheads. But you know what? The Lord has me in a place where this is where I'd rather be. And I'm perfectly content with that. And because this is, you know, this is where the leading is. This is where, you know, this is home for a lot of us, where we can share something between us that we can't share with most other people. And this is the taste of where we want to be. And so that sort of just personal experience fit in with what he put in my my spirit today about trying to focus a little bit on the joy of the Lord and our joy in the Lord. And I look, you know, we hear very often the scripture where it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I looked that up, and while the joy of the Lord is discussed in other places, the direct quote comes from Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is about Ezra reintroducing the law to the Israelites. And I'm going to read this segment from Nehemiah, beginning
Jerry,
at chapter 8.
I wanted to, when you were talking about the plane that you said, you know, you were wanted to go over, but, you know, you were doing this, the Lord told me really quickly, he said, well, there'll be lots of airplanes in heaven for Jerry to look at. So
cool.
There'll be a lot of eye candy in heaven for you.
Yeah,
I have a story
right.
for you to
awesome.
Read later when you get finished. It's going to thrill you when you hear this story. It's a real story. It'll only take a minute, 2 minutes to tell, but everyone's
cool.
going to get a chuckle out of this one. It's a real story what happened with an airplane.
Okay,
I got
super
it today.
Cool. Well, this won't take too long.
You're going to die when you hear it.
Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest, and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." So this is an example where that phrase comes from, the partner experience to the joy of the Lord here is no grief, no trouble, rejoice, and be calm in the blessings of the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, Pat.
Yeah. Okay, this is a true story. I just got it today. It's called Top This One for a Speeding Ticket. This, just because you like all this kind of stuff, so you're going to get a charge out of this. Two Highway Patrol officers were conducting speeding enforcement on I-15 just north of Oceanside, San Diego, California. One of the officers was using a handheld radar device to check speeding vehicles approaching the crest of a hill. The officers were suddenly surprised when the radar gun began reading 300 miles per hour and climbing. The officer attempted to reset the radar gun, but it would not reset, and then it suddenly turned off. Just then, a deafening roar over the treetops revealed that the radar had, in fact, locked into a USMC FA-18 Hornet, which was engaged in a low-flying listen to this, you're going to die, guys, which was engaged in a low-flying exercise near its home base location. Back at the California Highway Patrol headquarters, the patrol captain fired off a complaint to the U.S. Marine Corps base commander for shutting down his equipment. The reply, listen to this, this is going to kill you. The reply came back in true USMC style. Thank you for your letter. You may be interested to know that the tactical computer in the Hornet had detected the presence of and subsequently locked onto your hostile radar equipment in the police car, and automatically sent a jamming signal to back it, which is why it shut down. Furthermore, an air-to-ground missile aboard the fully armed aircraft had also automatically locked onto your equipment location. Fortunately, the Marine pilot flying the Hornet recognized the situation for what it was, quickly responded to the missile system alert status, and was able to override the automatic defense system before the missile was launched to destroy the hostile radar position. Listen. The pilot listened to this, so the technology this plane has, or whatever you want to call it. The pilot suggests you cover your mouths when cursing at them, since the video systems on these jets are very high-tech. Sergeant Johnson, the officer holding the radar gun, should get his dentist to check his left rear molar. It appears the filling is loose. Also, the snap is broken on his holster, so this jet conceals his stuff, and it had a missile set to hit the radar. Oh, this is a true story.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. That missile was ready to fire on the police car because it locked into the radar. And then you can see, what is it they have on the plane that they can see a molar and your strap is broken? I don't know. What kind of technology is that? Scary.
That's pretty amazing. But that's awesome. The hunter becomes the hunted.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
have a lot of sympathy with that. We've got another caller. We have.
Yeah, go ahead.
313. Yeah, that's great, Pat. Thanks. 313. Who do we have?
Hi, this is Barb calling from Dearborn, Michigan. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, Barb. How are you?
Good. I'm kind of excited. I just listened to a couple of videos by Jesse from BP Earthwatch.
Yes.
And they were it was from a show I think he did yesterday. Anyway, they were talking about some weather changes and some really bad storms. I have another friend who is a scientist, and what he's been teaching me to do is scientific prayers. And he was actually on Rick Wiles a little over a year ago when a storm blew up. They had a tornado watch. And Rick asked him, "Would you please pray?" So it gives a demonstration of what a scientific prayer is, how he prayed that the angelic forces would reverse the spin, and so on and so forth. And you know what? They finished the show, so there was no storm.
I dropped
those links into the chat room. I'm going to do it again.
Have it sent to us.
Let me find it again. The one is Dr. Preston Bailey with Rick Wiles from, I believe it was January, from March of 13. Let me see if I can find that again. And then the ones from Jesse were just uploaded today. But I'll put the Rick Wiles one in just as soon as These are things that we can do. Christians, we need to get a grip and realize the authority that we have in the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus
Amen.
Said that we would do greater works than he did. And don't you believe he didn't rebuke that storm? So if he can do it, we can do it too.
And yes, we have, there's a weather blessing out too, also for that. But I'll say it another time. Yeah, and people
well,
have said that, and the storms have disappeared. Yeah,
absolutely. Barb, well, as you listen to this video, if you just can keep listening to it, Dr. Bailey starts praying at about 19 minutes in, mm-hmm. and then they continued their interview, and I never heard another word about a storm. And they were in a tornado watch, not a warning. It was a watch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I
had an experience with that. I was at a relative's house, and we were under tornado watches, and it took me courage, and I spoke out this prayer loud, and they looked at me like I had two heads. But we went outside. The sky was totally clear, and there were clouds all the way around us, but nothing, and they just looked at me like, I said, well, the prayer works.
Yeah. You know, I had a friend, and all of her neighbors thought that she was crazy. She would go out in the yard and start. She'd go out in the yard and just start shouting. And you know
yes.
what? Those storms just moved in.
Yes,
her name was Joyce. I'll never forgive her.
Yeah.
And
the word is very powerful. Yeah,
we have all kinds of authority, and the Christian Church needs to start flexing those muscles. Anyway,
yeah,
I hope
you
enjoy these videos. Listen
was
to the whole
BP
thing.
Earth Watch? Yeah.
The BP Earthwatch, I'm putting Dr.
Yeah.
Bailey in again, and they're flagging me. I'm putting this in too
okay.
often.
Yeah.
Okay. But
that's the system. That's not us.
I know it is. No.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen to Jesse. He had Michael on, and they were discussing that how the weather is changing and these storms are really going to be, well, it's insane
yeah.
stuff. Okay, but we have authority. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
your territory is your territory.
Mm-hmm.
And what
mm-hmm.
I do in prayer is I stake a claim. I go to Isaiah and I say, you know, and also I claim every place the soles of my feet shall tread upon. Then I go to Isaiah and I lengthen my course and strengthen my stakes, and I claim a territory for however many miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit right in the middle, all
yeah.
around.
Right with
and
you.
I sit,
right with you.
And I claim every man, woman, and child for the kingdom of God. And whatever you want for your territory, you've got that kind of authority. And I do that every day.
Yes,
and you
ma'am.
Can be crazy as I am, or you can just go without.
Oh, we're crazy like you are.
Barb,
we're crazy
Barb,
like
I need
you are.
To tell
we
you,
understand.
I,
go ahead.
I need to tell you that everybody in chat is thanking you and in agreement with you. So yeah, everybody
well,
is really appreciating what you're up to.
You know, if people had known this when Katrina was causing havoc, it would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been different. And
yeah.
I don't care who's doing it. We've got all kinds of conspiracy theories out there saying, well, it's her, but it's this other thing, the chemtrails. It doesn't matter. God is greater.
Right. Right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I just saw
yeah.
a video, and it said that God lifted his protection, that it's satanic weather now, you know, so we need all those prayers all the more to rebuke the Satan come against us with the weather and stuff. So it's out there, the video was just on today, and it's about God's lifted his protection from the United States because of the way we are, and that's why we're having golf ball, you know, baseball hail
yes.
and all this damage, and we have to, the good timing, my dear, because we have to learn to rebuke that and just directly fight against him, you know. Because,
well,
yeah.
everybody's assignment is to listen to that True News video.
That
yeah, he talks about yeah. spiritual warfare in general, but there just so happened to be a storm, so he dealt with it. And that
oh, yeah.
was, I don't know, about 19 minutes in, and they never talked about the storm for the rest of the hour, so obviously it left. But
I mean, I did that when I lived in L.A. I came against every time it rained in my area, I came against it, and I was good. I used to be able to look up the week of the different weather patterns, and I would cast it out in advance. And I'm telling you, every single time, it would be sunny and it would rain maybe a few miles away, but not over our apartment, everything. I got really good at it.
Absolutely. And let me tell you something else. This is not a nice thing to do, people. This is our job. We are the remnant. We've been
yes.
sealed. This is our job. Step forward and take hold of this job.
You got to call in more.
I have.
Yeah, please call.
I totally agree with you.
How
I agree with you, Barb.
Well, listen. Thank you for letting me talk. Okay.
Yeah, well,
oh, of
thank
course,
you,
honey.
Barb. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thank
bye-bye.
You. That was great, honey. That was great. Call
bye-bye.
In any time.
Oh, I will.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Sweetie.
Okay.
God bless
okay.
you. Oh, that
yeah.
was great.
Yeah.
That was really good. Boy, I'll have to get a copy of those prayers, or I'll have to look up the BP.
That was in line with what Pat was saying with that weather pattern, too. So.
Yeah, that's on. That's that. That was kind of disturbing to read, to look at. Yeah, it's scary. Not scary, just worrying for it.
That was
something. Oh, okay. So yeah, no, that was on today, and I like what happened? Well, the protection's been lifted. That's where we're getting all the crazy weather and stuff because. You know, so the prayer, but the prayer is powerful because I've done that. Anytime we've had terrible threats here, and we've had them, I just pray and not a thing. In 15 years, nothing. Barbara's right. You pray that out and pray it out loud. I say it out loud. I said it on the phone. One time, who was it for? Sherry was having problems or somebody with storms. So, guys, it's just for anybody to do, just pray out loud. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Yeah, it's powerful. Oh, that was a good call. Thank you, Barb. Yeah.
We appreciate that very much. So I was moved, especially
when I was looking at when I was looking at Barb's spirit that called in. You could tell she's got a real strong anointing for the Lord. She could just see it in her spirit.
Yeah.
Real strong woman of the Lord. She's a thinker. She's
God
got a real strong. Real strong strength in the Lord. You could just feel it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jerry, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, okay. When I read that out of Nehemiah, they mentioned grieving twice, and it brought to mind the word that I got a week ago. And I'm going to read this again because it seems to me that over the last week, there's some things in here that have come up more than once. So, see if this checks in your spirit. I give you my peace and joy, children, but not only my children, also brothers and sisters of my power, my family, my creation out of my creation, my blessed hope of a family that can live and dwell with me. So much have I yearned to show you. Now come be with me. I release you. Now you release yourselves to me. Grieve not. Look forward, not back. There is no burden strapped on your back. Troubles do surround you, but step away from that reality. To me, even my smallest gift is so much more real than every trouble you see around you. Today, live in my today, and we will have tomorrow together. You know it is not my will that anyone perish. Yes, judgment comes, but I am an all-powerful and loving judge. Would you stand in my way that I complete my plans? All creation must be complete in me. Of course, you would not willfully stand against me, but your ties to the corrupted world would slow my work. It is time to lay your work of love into my hands of love. Continue to be loving, but place your planted seeds fully in my hand. I know the wheat from the tares before they are ripe. My family, I could complete my work in an instant. Be aware that all that happens is a testimony to the present and the future. Israel remembers Moses. So too will this time be remembered as a testimony. Therefore I come. Creation will be healed, and my earthly kingdom will be established. Amen.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow.
He really brought this to me today, or back to me. And I think it was a reminder of something that had me mention a while ago, and that is, let's not forget to revisit our past blessings, because there is no expiration date on his blessings for us, and there is no we can go back to those blessings, those confirmations, those words, and they hold up because he is still there and the same. So as we go forward and see this and hopefully poof out of here at any moment,
right?
Let us take with us and, let us have in our arms a faith and a belief and a remembrance of those blessings. Accordingly, let us do a quick communion here. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, and we revisit your instructions at the Last Supper. Jesus took the bread, broke it, and said, "Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body." His body was broken on the cross, and as we take the bread, we remember his body given for us. Let's take the bread. Later, Jesus said, "This is the cup of my new covenant. In my blood, which would be spilled for us, he said, take this cup, drink the wine, and remember it's of my blood and me." Let's take the cup. So in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ and the provision of God the Father, we take these things, excuse me, and we rejoice over them, we embrace them, we remember them, and we know that you are with us always, as we yearn to be with you, that our reality becomes, or that our reality becomes your reality. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, as you have been with us throughout this show. Amen. Does anyone else have something that they would like to bring up?
Maybe just a few lines of "He and I," if you wanted.
Okay.
Yeah. He said, he was saying to her, "Be careful, I want you to go up higher. Hide yourself in the cleft of the rock, his heart." And over here he was saying, She was an actress of stage. She did very moral plays, and she was doing the acts of the three old maid and the 13 youngsters, and she's repeating the words, "It's not time that makes a saint, it's the will." And Jesus said, "Do you have this will? Do you have it every day?" And then she said she was hurt by a lack of friendliness, and Jesus said, "I allowed this so that you might understand what it is for love to be rejected." And then the evening he said to her, "Confess your faults and failings of the day to me in the secrecy of our two hearts, and I'll forgive them." And he says, "Go lovingly right to the end of your suffering and sacrifice. Don't stop of your own will. Do good deeds in order to avoid laxity," he said. And then she was saying prayers, and she was just not paying attention and looking out the window. And gently he said, "If I were just a man, I should ask, are you making fun of me?" because of the indifference she was showing, you know. But then he said again, "Change your nature. Be exquisitely kind, even when your neighbor is not present. Speak well of him. Keep watch on your manner, the very little touches. This is what gives charity its charm." And she was considering a fame of certain actresses and theatrical productions. And then he said, "Let me look after you." And he says, "Desire, desire. To desire is to increase your capacity to receive." And he says, oh, this is so sweet, and I'll end right here. She says, "We're all alone, Jesus." And he said, "Say, my Jesus, don't you prefer to be called my Gabrielle?" So he's saying that to all of us. So that was very sweet, you know. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really great. That's really great. Oh, we just got a new caller. Let's see who this is.
Oh, good.
413. Hello.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. This is Alana. I'm having some technical
problems. Hi.
Hi. I'm just having some technical problems with my computer. And I was just going to listen to the rest and let my computer cool down. I'm just listening.
Oh, well, it's always good to hear you, honey.
Well, that's okay. We're happy to have you. Okay.
Oh, well, sure.
Yeah. It's always me. I'm always here.
Oh, that's honey, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
We want you to always be here.
Absolutely. Well, we
right,
love
honey.
You again, Alana. We love you again.
We love you, sweetie. Hang in there.
Okay, so we have a hope, and it's being activated, and we're going to have this song in a minute or two afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming home.
It's nothing that I can't try. And if you feel me, put your hands high, high, high. Hey, and if you feel me, put your hands high, high, hey. Yeah. This is my story, this is my song. If you ain't got the heart, don't attempt to try to sit home. It's just a poem from a man once living wrong. Now I'm in the zone, tell the world I'm coming home. It's been a long time coming, been a long time coming. This song feel like the greatest of all time coming. Cause I do it B-I-G-I, remember we would be high. Who would've thought that we'd be running rap when we was knee high? To appreciate the sun, you gotta know what rain is. Oh, cause I'm famous, you don't think I know what pain is. But I bounce back, would you look at that? I take my spot at the top and I ain't looking back.
I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits, and they've forgiven my mistakes. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world that I'm coming home.
Hey, confusion like I was losing my mind. But one thing I never lose is my grind. My closet need a lot of cleaning now. I can't sleep cause I don't like the shit I dream about. Hey dear Lord, please help me get the demons out. And then let me get my genius out. And get back to what I had. If my goods outweigh my bads, do you think that my mistakes is on even out, even out? I guess try and see this on my diary. I'm living for my kids, now they is just as fly as me. Talk well, wonder if Andre Herrera knew how great that I would be when he fired me.
I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday.
Coming home. So
amen.
Amen. Anybody have anything they want to share? Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to get together in this form that you provided for us. Jesus is our pastor, and we seek to follow him in obedience and in joy and faith. And our faith and our joy are connected in you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we know you encourage us to pray in your power, and you take joy in doing work and being glorified through that. Oh. Lord, we love you, and we seek your guidance and your blessing as we go forward on this day and until you come to get us. In Jesus' name, pray, amen.
Amen.
Can I read one more paragraph, just a short paragraph? I think
sure.
Everyone would like to be my gay little friend. Speak to me, as it were, with smiles. This is good. So many people look upon me as an executioner or an inexorable judge. My heart wants to be your friend, your gentle friend. What would I not do for those who really want to give themselves to me in confident and childlike surrender? Talk to me. Talk to me. That's our Jesus pleading.
Amen.
I thought that was, yeah.
Yep.
That was sweet.
Absolutely. Well, we know what he is. And the spirit of the bride would can say, come.
Come.
If we hear a little bit of this. He is.